I want to start today with something that, let's be honest, is probably open in a tab on your computer right now.
Oh, almost certainly.
We all know how useful these AI tools are. You know, you paste in a draft, ask for a quick polish, and boom, it's done.
It's frictionless.
It's totally frictionless.
Bruh.
But looking at this stack of reports we have here, specifically this one on safeguarding California small businesses, that lack of friction is, well, that's exactly where the trap is.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers are calling this the great AI data spill of 2025.
It sounds a little dramatic, I know, but when you actually look at the data, the term is pretty literal.
Right.
We're not talking about, you know, hackers breaking into a server somewhere. We're talking about a massive, and this is the key word, voluntary surrender of sensitive information.
So the spill is really about things like medical intake forms, legal strategies,
financial portfolios,
yeah,
proprietary data. All of it just started showing up in public AI responses. Why? Because users put it there.
And that's the part that really jumps out at me from the source material here. This wasn't a breach in the way we usually think about it.
Not at all.
This was just people doing their jobs.
Precisely. It was a marketing director pasting a, you know, a Q2 launch strategy into ChatGPT to refine the tone.
Or an HR manager uploading a termination document to check for empathy.
These seem like these small, innocent keystrokes, but the report argues that for California businesses specifically, they're walking straight into a compliance minefield.
And we are definitely going to get into those California regulations, the CPRA, the CCPA, because those acronyms have some serious teeth.
They do.
But before we get into the legal nightmare, I really want to understand the tech side of this. The sources use this analogy. Public library versus a private office.
Right, for consumer AI versus enterprise AI.
Yeah, but let's push past the analogy for a minute,
yeah,
because I think a lot of our listeners get the basics.
Mm-hmm.
But the report mentions model training and weights. When I paste my secret product launch into a public chatbot, what is physically happening to that text?
Well, it's not just sitting in a database somewhere. I mean, that would actually be better.
Better? Why?
If it were a database, you could find the row and delete it. Simple.
Yeah.
The reality is much more complex. When you put data into a consumer-grade LLM, think the free versions of ChatGPT, Claude, that sort of thing,
right,
that data is often ingested. It becomes part of the training set.
So it's not just stored, it's learned.
It's assimilated.
Right.
The model uses your text to adjust its weights. These are, you know, the billions of numerical parameters that determine how it predicts the next word.
Exactly.
So once your proprietary chemical formula or your legal argument is used to update those weights, it's become part of the model's statistical understanding of the world. It's been diffused throughout the entire neural network.
Wow. Okay, so that explains the whole unlearning problem the report touches on. I can't just go back and hit delete history, can I?
You can delete the chat log from your sidebar, sure. That removes it from your view.
Right.
But you can't just reach into the neural network and untie the mathematical knot that your data helped create.
It's like trying to take a cup of water back out of the ocean.
Exactly. The model has already shifted based on what you told it.
And that, I assume, leads directly to this cross-contamination risk they mention. This is the scenario that really sells the danger for me.
It's the most direct consequence of that training process. Let's say you're an engineer at a startup. You paste a snippet of some new code to get it optimized.
Right.
The model learns that pattern. So if a competitor's engineer later asks a similar question,
it won't quote my code back at them, will it?
Probably not verbatim.
Yeah.
But it will use the logic, the structure, the very pattern it learned from your code to help them. You're effectively crowdsourcing your own obsolescence.
That is a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
That my R&D budget is subsidizing my competitor's efficiency.
Hmm.
Now, this report from Technigian, it moves from the theoretical to the very practical. They highlight some absolute horror stories, specifically from California. And these aren't hypotheticals.
No, these are real case studies of businesses that just hit the wall. The one that stands out starkly is the mid-sized employment law firm in Orange County.
This is the one where the associate was just trying to be more efficient, right?
Trying to impress the partners, most likely. They were using ChatGPT to draft settlement agreements for wrongful termination cases. So they're feeding the AI-specific details, names, dates, settlement amounts, the nature of the dispute. They did this for over 30 cases.
Oh, no. And I can guess what happened next. Opposing counsel found it.
Not even on the same case. Opposing counsel on a completely different matter was using the same public AI for research, and they started noticing the AI was, well, hallucinating very specific, very familiar details.
It had memorized parts of the confidential settlement.
That's it.
The fallout listed here is just brutal. An $850,000 penalty. But that's just money.
The money was almost the least of it. They faced a state bar investigation for violating client confidentiality. But the real business killer was the reputation hit.
How bad?
They lost 40% of their client base in 6 months. In law, trust is your only inventory. Once you burn it, you can't just buy more.
Wow. And there's another case here, a dermatology practice in L.A. This one almost feels more tragic because it wasn't some high-stakes legal strategy.
No, it was just front desk work. Mundane administrative tasks.
What were they doing?
The staff wanted to send, you know, polite personalized appointment confirmations. So they'd paste in patient names, conditions, reasons for visits. Write a polite reminder for John Doe regarding his psoriasis treatment.
And they did this for how many patients?
2,000.
2,000 records exposed. And because this is California, the regulatory hammer came down hard.
Very hard.
We're going to talk about why California is so different in a second, but what was the final result for that practice?
$275,000 in fines, a class action lawsuit for the data breach, and, well, the practice closed within 18 months.
Closed.
Couldn't survive the legal fees and the loss of patients.
Done. Over appointment emails. Okay, that brings us to the regulatory environment. The report really stresses, if you're listening to this in California, you are playing by a different set of rules.
Completely different. You have the CPRA and the CCPA.
California leads the nation in this stuff.
It does. The California Privacy Rights Act, the CPRA, has this concept called strict liability.
And strict liability usually means intent doesn't matter. You don't have to be negligent, you just have to be wrong.
Exactly right. Under the law, if you share consumer data with a third party, you must have a contract, a service provider agreement that says how they have to handle that data.
And consumer AI tools, the free ChatGPTs of the world, they do not sign these contracts with you.
No, they don't.
So, just by definition, using the free version with any client data is illegal.
Technically, yes. You've shared data with a vendor that hasn't legally agreed to protect it. You've violated the service provider requirements.
And the California Privacy Protection Agency, the CPA, they're actually enforcing this.
Aggressively. In 2024, the average fine per violation was around $580,000.
Wow. And they're looking for what they call technological violations.
They know everyone is using AI. It's the absolute lowest hanging fruit for regulators right now. And it's not just CPRA. In healthcare, you have the CMIA, the Confidentiality of Medical Information Act.
Which is stricter than IPA, I read.
In many ways, yes, especially regarding personal liability.
So if I'm a doctor using AI to summarize my notes, I'm not just risking a clinic fine.
You are risking your license and your personal assets. Same for lawyers with Rule 1.6 on confidentiality. Look, the tools are useful, but the regulatory environment here in California, it treats them like toxic waste handlers. You need a permit, and you need to know where it's going.
Okay, so we've established the terror. The house is on fire. The report offers a solution, which they call enterprise AI.
Right.
Technigian argues this is the only way to use these tools safely. But I'm going to push back on this a little because I'm looking at the costs.
It is a jump, no question.
It's a massive jump.
Right.
A personal ChatGPT Plus account is, what, $20 a month? This report estimates an enterprise setup is somewhere between $60 and $90 a month per user.
When you factor in management and everything, yes.
So if I'm a small business owner, 20 employees, you're asking me to triple my spend. Why? Is the risk actually that high? Or is this just, you know, vendor fear mongering?
That is the most common objection I hear. Why pay for the cow when the milk is cheap? But you have to look at the math that's presented in the source.
Right.
Let's say enterprise AI costs your team an extra $24,000 a year.
Which is a salary for a part-time employee. That's not nothing.
It's not. But compare that against a single CPRA fine. Just one.
Mm.
That averages $580,000. Or a breach response, which is $250,000 in legal fees and forensics on average. You're paying a premium to avoid a business-ending event.
That makes sense, but there's a more immediate financial argument too, right? Something about insurance.
Yes. This was a really interesting point in the report, cyber liability insurance.
Most businesses have it now.
They do. But have you actually read the exclusions in your policy lately? The carriers are getting very smart. they are adding specific exclusions for unapproved software or non-compliant third-party vendors.
So if I have a data leak because of ChatGPT,
yeah,
and I'm on the free version,
your policy could be void. You're paying premiums for a safety net that has a giant hole in the middle of it.
But the flip side?
The flip side is, if you can document you have AI governance, if you can prove you're using secure enterprise tools with zero retention policies, your premiums can drop by 15 to 25%.
So the savings on insurance might actually offset the cost of the software itself.
In many cases, it's a wash, but you end up with a secure, compliant business instead of a vulnerable one.
Let's talk about those terms. Zero retention. Data isolation. What is enterprise AI physically doing differently than the public library version?
It moves you from that library to a private bunker. Technically, it relies on data isolation. So your data is processed in a private instance that never, ever touches another organization's environment.
Okay.
And crucially, it has zero retention for model training.
Meaning the model doesn't learn from me.
It processes your request and then it forgets it. It's amnesiac by design. You get all the intelligence of the model without any of the memory rift.
Now, I want to pivot to a very specific trap that I think a huge portion of our listeners are falling into right now. And I'll be honest, when I saw this in the outline, I thought, wait, really?
The Microsoft trap.
The Microsoft trap. It's ubiquitous.
It is.
And the logic, it seems to sound right. We use Microsoft 365. It's the enterprise standard. Therefore, if we use Microsoft's AI Copilot, we're safe.
And the report says, not necessarily. This is one of the most dangerous misconceptions out there. People assume because they pay Microsoft, they are getting the full enterprise treatment by default.
But that's often false.
Yeah.
So if I have a standard business license, I'm not protected.
Not automatically. The report clarifies that the really robust data protection features, the ones that stop data from leaking, they're often tied to specific higher tier licenses.
Like E3 or E5.
Exactly. If you're on a business standard plan, you might not have the full suite of data loss prevention tools or DLP available to you.
Okay, but let's say I do have the fancy E5 license. I'm good then, right?
No. And this is where so many companies get burned. Buying the license is just buying the lock for the door. You still have to actually engage the deadbolt.
You have to configure it.
You have to configure Copilot. You have to set up sensitivity labels. You have to tell the system, do not allow Copilot to summarize any document labeled internal only.
And most companies just don't do that.
Technogean's audit data shows that most businesses have between 8 and 12 critical security gaps in their default configuration.
Just out of the box.
They turn it on, they think it's plug and play, and they inadvertently grant the AI access to everything, HR files, payroll, strategy documents.
That's a nightmare.
If you don't configure those permissions boundaries, Copilot can surface sensitive executive salary data to a junior intern just because they asked a vague question about company expenses.
Hey, Copilot, who makes the most money here?
And Copilot, being helpful and having access to an unsegregated SharePoint, just gives them the answer. That is a configuration failure, not a software failure. But the damage is exactly the same.
So we can't just buy our way out of this with software. We need a strategy. The report details a managed AI security model. But before we get to the steps, I want to ask about the human element. The report talks about shadow IT.
Ah, shadow IT. That's what happens when you just try to ban AI.
Right. My instinct as a boss would be, okay, this is too dangerous, banned, fire anyone who uses it. Why doesn't that work?
Because the productivity gains are just too high. If you ban it, you don't stop the usage, you just make it invisible. Your employees will disconnect from the corporate Wi-Fi, they'll use their personal hotspots, and they'll paste company data into their personal phones. Now you have the exact same data leak, but you have zero visibility into it.
It's the worst of both worlds.
It is. The report uses this brilliant analogy. It calls it odorless gas.
Odorless gas.
Data exposure is like carbon monoxide. When an employee uses personal AI, nothing bad happens right away. The screen doesn't flash red. It feels safe. They get their work done faster. But the toxic exposure is accumulating silently until it reaches a fatal level.
So how do we fix it? Technogean lists a four-step model.
Step one is assessment. You have to turn the lights on. Use network discovery tools to see who's actually using what. You'll probably find marketing is using Jasper, your devs are on GitHub Copilot, and your admin staff is all on ChatGPT.
Okay, so once you know the scale of the problem, what's next?
Step two is classification. You can't just lock down everything. You need to define your data. What's public, what's internal, and what's restricted.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Public data. Draft an invitation to the company picnic. Use whatever tool you want. Who cares? Internal data. summarize this meeting about Q3 sales. That needs the secure enterprise tool.
Be restricted.
That's your social security numbers, patient health info. No AI at all, ever.
That makes sense. But you have to teach people that.
Which is step 3, policy and training. You have to write it down. You need an acceptable use policy that is specific to AI. If you leave it ambiguous, employees will guess. And they will always guess in favor of convenience, not security.
And finally, step 4 is monitoring.
Right. This isn't a set it and forget it kind of thing. AI models change. Regulations like the CPRA evolve. You need 24/7 monitoring to detect anomalies.
Like what?
Like if Dave from accounting suddenly tries to upload a 500-page database to an external AI, your system needs to flag that and stop it.
Which, let's be honest, Dave is going to try to do.
Someone is always going to try.
So bringing all this together, we're looking at a landscape where the tools are incredible, but the ground underneath is shaky.
Yeah.
What's the final verdict from these reports?
The summary is really this. AI is essential for speed. You can't compete in 2026 without it. But using consumer tools for business in California is effectively professional negligence.
Yeah, professional negligence. That's a strong term.
It is. But if you are a lawyer, a doctor, a financial advisor, and you use a tool that leaks client data to a public training set, you have failed in your fiduciary duty, period.
So the call to action here isn't to be afraid of AI.
Not at all. It's to move from the wild west of consumer tools to a governed, secure enterprise environment.
It's about growing up. The whole startup mentality of move fast and break things doesn't really work when the thing you're breaking is your client's privacy.
Or your own intellectual property. And remember, the ROI. Technigen's data shows that avoiding just one of those $580,000 fines pays for about 20 years of the secure system.
Yep.
It's just good business math.
It's an insurance policy that also happens to write your emails for you. I can get behind that.
That's a good way to put it.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought. Something that really stuck with me from reading through all this. We've talked a lot about the past, about data leaks that have already happened. I want you to think about the future.
Go on.
If your employees are using personal AI to do their jobs today, refining strategies, analyzing weaknesses, drafting patents, your company's deepest secrets are actively training the tools your competitors will be using tomorrow.
Mm.
So it raises this really uncomfortable question. How much of your 2027 strategy is already public knowledge and you don't even know it?
That's the question every CEO needs to be asking themselves tonight.
On that cheery note, that's it for this deep dive.
Yeah.
Check your settings, check your policies, and maybe don't paste that termination letter into a public chat. We'll catch you on the next one.